You're listening to a podcast from oxinabox.co.uk with Catherine McAllister.
Hello, so I'm here with Michelle Castelletti, who is the Festival Director of the Oxford Festival of the Arts. And I'm here with Alexis Thompson, who is also hugely involved and is the Marketing and Sponsorship Manager. And they're here to tell us all about the amazing festival, which kicks off in June. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning. Hi, Catherine.
So tell us, for those who perhaps haven't come across the festival before, what we can expect from this year's extravaganza, because it's 2.5 weeks, isn't it, of just the most amazing selection of events that you've organised.
It absolutely is, yes. So Oxford Festival of the Arts is basically what it says on the tin. It's a festival which embraces all art forms. So there's a bit of everything and a bit of everything for everyone. I call the festival the sort of, it epitomises a town and gown in Oxford. So there's both classical music as well as comedy, and there's both, you know, uproarious evenings as well as more sacred stuff. So it's 2.5 weeks, as you said, of spectacle and fun.
It takes a long time to plan, to get so many amazing people and concerts and do's and theatre events and all this stuff, to get it all together. When do you begin planning that?
The minute the last one's finished.
Really?
Well, actually a little bit. I'm already doing next year.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So you have to, because otherwise you don't have, you don't have what you want to have. You have to make compromises, whereas the earlier you start, the earlier you can get the big names in or start partnerships, which take a long time to sort of, you know, flourish into something meaningful.
Because you aim high, don't you? I mean, we're not allowed to announce all of the excitement, but there are some massive names that you've managed to...
Yes. So this year, this festival this year is about... The inspiration behind it is the Field of Cloth of Gold. So it's the 500th anniversary, for those who don't know, of when Henry VIII met Francois I in France, in Calais. And it was a lavish feast, absolute spectacle. We would never do something like it today. It could cost billions of pounds. I don't know how they did it. So we're trying to encapsulate that into what we can do today. So by doing that, we are trying to get the big names, as you are saying, which we will be revealing today, Lexi, and some of them. And of course, so it's about creating a spectacle, basically, in all its various ways. So the theme itself is already spectacular because it's Renaissance and it's high Renaissance, and there's all these wonderful colours and feasts and trumpets and things like that. So there's that. There's also lots of anniversaries happening this year, so we've tried to, you know, to tick that as well. And there's also an academic side, which of course we are in Oxford, so we're catering to that as well. But there's a lot about fun and family and inclusivity and us going out in the city rather than expecting all these people to come to us. However, we are also changing our field into something quite special for families on one of the weekends. So, and that is free. We try to make these things free for people as much as possible. We can't do everything like that, but our tickets are priced very reasonably when they have to be ticketed. But we also do things that are unexpected and free for everybody as well.
It's an amazing accolade for Oxford, isn't it, to have this. It does beg the question why you've put so much effort into allowing everybody in Oxford and Oxfordshire, and presumably people who will be visiting, to have such a rich spread of things to do. Where did that start? Because this is your 12th year.
It is our 12th year. It is something that the school started. So it's actually hats off to the school for recognising this many years ago, that it is wonderful to be able to reach the people. The arts are what make us human, in a way. They make us a more civilized in a much broader sense, you know, because it gives us something that enriches us every time. And whether it's having fun and having a drink with friends, or whether it's listening to some extraordinary musician, it's a community feeling. And the school recognized that a long time ago, so 12 years ago.
So we're talking about Magdalen College School.
Magdalen College School,
where
yes.
we are chatting.
Where
at
we
the
are
moment.
Chatting, yeah. Yes, exactly. And it started quite small. It started small scale, as you would imagine. You know, you're starting something new for the first time. And it started more as a thing for the school to present its own students. Gradually, over the years, that sort of outgrew itself. And it became more about not just the students presenting stuff, but bringing other people in. And now it is an absolute celebration of the arts in general. So that's what happened over the last 2 years. So our team is actually quite new. Over the last 2 years, the school recognized that it's been growing so much that it needed to have a dedicated festival team, which is what we are.
And I'm allowed to do this because Michelle is modest, so I'll blow her trumpet for her. So to give her her full title, Dr. Michelle Castelletti, you know, she's got a couple of talents up her sleeve. She's done a bit of this before. We might keep her on for another year because she's quite good.
So you're the first festival director, but you're also very famous for your composing, yes?
Well,
and your conducting particular,
yeah.
And your curating. So it's a coup for them to have you.
Well, I think it's a privilege for me to be here as well. Yes. Well, I am a conductor by profession. I'm a curator, which is why I love doing this, because I enjoy curating interdisciplinary stuff, which sounds like a big word, but actually all it is bringing different art forms together.
I call it potpourri.
And yeah. And with context, you know, I think it's very important to do that. As a musician, in terms of composition and stuff, I have been recorded and I have been published and all of that. I've done European Capital of Culture, which is one of the biggest things one can do in terms of curating festivals. So yes, to say that, yes. But I still think it's a massive privilege to be in Oxford, in a city which has just so much to offer, and the partnerships and collaborations that you can get. Because on our own, you know, everybody can do little things on their own. Whereas when you're together, you can just create extraordinary things that you wouldn't think is possible. And here, it is much more possible because it's so rich.
Now, you're going to tease us a bit today, aren't you, with some of the attractions, you might say, and some of the big names and some of the things that we can expect, which we will then drip feed for the next few weeks and months
exactly.
Going forward.
Yes. I'm going to take a moment to talk about one of the other ways that we've interpreted our theme, which is the word gold. And gold will be writ large throughout the festival. So I'm just going to say, I'm a huge jazz fan, and we have got some exceptional jazz coming. I'm just going to say, remember the word gold. And we have got a proper, genuine Hollywood A-lister. And no, I'm not going to tell you, Catherine. No, I'm not going to tell you who that is. But it's a deal. And we have also got. Do you want you talk about the classical stuff, because this is what Michelle is exceptional at. So you can reveal.
We will reveal today.
Yes.
There are two big things that I can talk about, and then perhaps you can talk about something else. Yes.
Yes.
So Thomas Tallis. I don't know whether people know who Thomas Tallis is, but he's mostly well known for his Peminalium, which is a work for 40 voices. It's an extraordinary work. It's very difficult to explain in words, because you have to be sitting in a room or in a hall or in a church and be enveloped by 40 different sounds all around you. It's just an extraordinary thing. So this year, 2020, could be, nobody's absolutely sure, could be the 500th anniversary of, the 450th anniversary of Thomas Tallis' Peminalium. So we are creating a symposium. It sounds very academic, doesn't it? But it is tailor-made so that it is going to be not targeted at only academics. So it's very open. So we're going to be talking about when it was done, the exciting history of the Tudors, very exciting history. So was it done for Elizabeth I, or was it done for Mary I? You know, the reformations, all of those things that were very turbulent in British history. We're also going to be talking about what does it feel like to sing your one line with 40 other people singing totally different lines around you? What does it feel like to be an audience member in a space which just bombards you with different sounds? So there are academic lines to it, but there's also the more curious aspects to it. So it's a big thing for it. We're doing it in conjunction with Aura Singers, who with my other hat on, I'm board member over there, governor over there, and we have commissioned Sir James Macmillan, to write a 40-part motet as a reflection of the Thomas Tallis. It is
especially for the festival,
especially for this Tallis 2020 celebration. I cannot tell you how extraordinary it is. I was in there. We recorded it already, so we're releasing the CD. It's overwhelming. There's no way to describe it. And he's going to be coming. He's going to be talking about it as well. For people who love polyphony or like sacred music or listening to other radios, I don't think we can mention which ones. But anyway, they will all know who he is and what he writes and who Thomas Tallis is and what they write. And to experience that firsthand It's just extraordinary. And the beauty of it all is also it's in it's partnerships by three. So we're starting at Tate Modern in London, continuing here with the academic side and with the two works side by side, and then going to Cambridge. So it's a big, massive deal for Oxford as well. So that's one, which I cannot praise enough. Susie Digby is extraordinary. And then Alison Balsam, who people must know, I think. She's one of the best trumpeters in the world. I would say that very strongly. Definitely one of the best trumpeters we've ever had in England. She's also, for people who know, she's the wife of Sam Mendes, who's been taking all the awards for his 1917 film. But this is a very special event. It's going to be her together with another six natural trumpets and an ensemble, and there our link to the theme is we're going to have music for the royal fireworks in there and things like that. So it's a big celebration, big name in Christchurch Cathedral. You know,
yes, nice
sound,
gas. Nice, yeah. Yes.
The sound is going to be extraordinary over there. So yeah, so I think I'll reveal those two for now, and then we can talk about more later.
Well, I've got one up my sleeve as well, because I'll talk a little bit about King Henry VIII, who is a larger than life character, and he will be part of our festival in lots of different forms. He will be writ large in all kinds of different ways. And speaking of larger than life figures, we are absolutely over the moon because we've got Brian Blessed coming.
The Brian Blessed.
The Brian Blessed, the legend that is Brian Blessed, is coming for an evening. And if you ask me what to expect, Catherine, I've got no idea, because you never do with Brian Blessed. You sort of wind him up and let him go, and it will be the most extraordinary evening, and we are delighted to have him because he doesn't do that many sort of in conversation just chatting about my life events, so we feel very, very pleased to
I'm
have
sure
got
he's
him.
Got a lot to say.
Oh, he yes, has, yes. Well, his biography, if you do it in a kind of shortened form, is actor, adventurer and raconteur. I mean, that's good, isn't it? If you have to sum someone up in three words, those are pretty good words. Mm. Yeah. So,
and that's a very long evening. I mean, he actually asked for the evening to be just him to two and a half hours without interval, and then there's an interval in between. Yeah. So it's a big evening. People are going to get their money's worth if we have to speak
no
in those
question.
Terms.
Food is also going to be part of it, isn't there? I don't know what you're allowed to tell us so far about that, but it's definitely something we were talking about earlier, something for everyone. There's family shows, there's music, there's comedy, there's guest speakers, academia. There's lots of inclusivity with lots of schools that
yes,
we will be mentioning.
Yes, there's a lovely partnership project that we're doing, and we're working with 12 primary schools in the state sector, and all of the children involved will be participating in an outdoor performance, a musical outdoor performance. We can't say any more than that now, but rehearsals are underway and there is a great deal of excitement. And again, that's something that has been commissioned especially for the festival. So we're really excited about it. And so are the children. And it will be extraordinary.
It's a school, you know, the school is working very hard on this. It's 1,000 children are going to be taking part. Yeah. We can't do much more than that, I think. So
we have to say that Magdalen College School, the whole community, is fantastically supportive of the festival. Really, the individuals and the groups are amazing, and we couldn't do it without them. And the school was the lead and remains our leading sponsor of this festival. So we are very grateful for all the support they give us to make it happen.
So feasting. There was a mention of feasting.
Well, we can say we're starting off. So the first day is actually going to be, I'm calling it a Tudor entertainment, because entertainment was one of the things that they called the stuff back then. So they used to have entertainments, masks, revels, murmurs, all these things. So we're going to open the night with the festival with a night of entertainment with jesters and minstrels and food and feasting, and it's just a wonderful way to start it off. We also have a massive Henry VIII, well, not too massive, but much smaller than I am.
That's not terribly difficult, though, being frank.
Take photos, you know, take your selfie with Henry VIII. But I'm not going to say exactly what the evening is, but it's going to be a wonderful evening, Tudor feeling evening, where people can just come and enjoy themselves and enjoy lots of good Tudor food as well.
And we're very much encouraging dressing up. So if people have got something Tudor-esque that's lurking in the wardrobe, we say, get it out, dust it off and put it on, because we want to see it. So yes, that'll be great fun.
For anyone who'd like to find out more about the festival, We're going to be drip feeding it on Ox in a Box, but where can people go and when, and how do they find out the schedule and what's happening?
So we have a dedicated website, which is artsfestivaloxford.org, which will be going live soon. We're doing some brushing up and making it even more lovely and easier to use, and that will be going live soon. That has all the details of all the events, and you can buy tickets online. We also work with our partners Tickets at Oxford, so you can buy tickets through them. We do lots of social media, and there will be brochures which will be very widely distributed across Oxford and beyond, so people should be aware of what we're up to.
Brilliant. But also you'll be able to find all of it at oxinabox.co.uk. And to those who might think that it might seem, elitist is the wrong word, but because it is centred at a private school, they might be slightly unnerved by that. What would you like to say to the people of Oxford who would like to come and take part?
Yes, well, I would say that is the first thing I try to absolutely remove the perception of when I started here. So we are doing that also by doing lots of things outside of the school, including in the streets. So you might be passing by the street and seeing something that is Oxford Festival of the Arts, and you know, not knowing that is a part of the school, absolutely. So we have some things happening over here, but mostly on our gorgeous grounds, which is also a wonderful thing, as in we open doors, to use that term. We open our fields to people, for people to come in. But the festival is absolutely not. We're using places like Freud, like the Playhouse, like our grounds, Gloucester Green. We're going everywhere. It's absolutely not elitist.
Sheldonian, I think.
Sheldonian, yes. But, you know, it's just going to go, and the streets. And I think that is very important, because otherwise we do... you know, have the perception, sometimes people can see it like that, oh, you have to go to a musical concert, sit down and watch that. We are breaking that. That is not the only way one can enjoy the arts. There are many, many other ways. Of course, we have social media, you know, we are very strong on that front, you know, we're very interactive, sort of going back and forth. We have our newsletter and things like that. So people can experiment bit by bit and sort of speak to us all the time, rather than, you know, dip your toes. If you dip your toes once, you won't want to go out again. You just want to stay, I'm sure. So, yeah, we have film, you know, we have all sorts of
and,
things.
And we're working with Jericho Comedy again this year. Started a partnership with them last year and we enjoyed it so much we're doing it again. In fact, there will be a day of comedy, which will be at Toad. So there's another wonderful venue that we're using. Yeah. So we've got some really strong partnerships.
So it's definitely not elitist. And then, of course, there is the beauty of going into special places which you're not usually allowed to go into. And we make it possible. So we remove the barrier rather than create them. So.
And it's probably worth saying that one of the things Michelle set out to do was juxtapose performance and place. So I think I can probably say that this year we'll be doing silent films again in Magdalen College Chapel, which is something that we did last year and is always a sellout, is an extraordinary thing to experience in this beautiful and sacred place. And then the juxtaposition of the silent films, which are accompanied by live organ music, and it's a really extraordinary thing to do, and we're doing that again this year.
It's an amazing and very ambitious schedule that you've managed to put together. But this is our first podcast, but we'll do another one nearer the time when we can really discuss when everything's been released and we can really talk about it in detail. But hopefully enough to just tease people a bit.
Thank you. I'm very pleased with our partnership.
Yes, we are. It's absolutely wonderful.
Really so excited. You're just such an exciting company and just matched perfectly, didn't it?
Very good.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Until next time, ladies.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast from oxinabox.co.uk with Catherine McAllister. Read more at oxinabox.co.uk.